Blog Talk Radio.
Of the empowered soul, and I'm so excited to have you join us this morning. I want to welcome the people in the chat room. I want to welcome those who are listening on the phone. I was so excited last night when I checked the list, and I noticed we have people who are joining us from Italy, and in London, and all over the world this morning. So I'm super, super, super excited. As usual, you can call us if you have a question or if you just want to say something to our guests. And the number to call is 646-915-8166. Again, the telephone number is 646-915-8166. And whenever you have a question or a comment, you can call and we will, entertain that. It is a beautiful fall morning here in Connecticut. And I am broadcasting out of New Milford, Connecticut this morning. And before I bring my distinguished guest on, I just want to remind you of the episode, the segments that are coming up on Saturday the 28th. I have out of Jamaica, West Indies, the amazing Mighty Jinsu. And Mighty Jinsu just released his first single, and I'm excited, not only because he released his single, but because he happens to be my nephew. So I'm super excited about having, we affectionately call him DT, but his professional artist name is the Mighty Jinsu. So I'm going to be having him on at 11 on Saturday the 28th. So please join us. And on the 2nd of December, we'll be having Dr. Ray Blanchard. He's the author of The Answer, that DVD. And after that, we're having Jeff Mills on. Jeff Mills is a former youth pastor who has just carved his way into the internet business, and he's going on to teach us how we can triple our time off and still double our income. I want you all to jot the date down of February the 18th to the 1st. We will be having a vision weekend for entrepreneurs and small business owners. So keep watching your emails and my blogs and everything for the details on that and visit my website as well, clarkhudson.com, and please pick up a copy of my book and just support me. So without any further ado, let me bring on my friend, my colleague, my distinguished, honored guest of the day, Mrs. Murel Moulton. Murel, good morning, my sister.
Good morning. How are you?
I am amazing. I am so happy this morning because it's a beautiful fall day here in Connecticut, and it is... even though we don't have any leaves on the branches, they in themselves have such unique beauty. So, you know, we are so blessed to be alive today and to be enjoying this pre-Thanksgiving morning. So, would you please take a few minutes and introduce yourself, Murel, please, to the listeners. And afterwards, I want to just express a couple things that I'm thankful for, and I'm going to ask you to do the same. And we already
Wonderful.
Have a caller in the call, on the phone, and we want to give the listeners maybe 10 or 12 minutes to just call in and express what they are thankful for. So, would you please introduce yourself?
Well, thank you. Daphne, thank you so much for having me on to your audience and to you. I send greetings on this beautiful Thanksgiving Day from this great state of Georgia. My name is Muriel Moulton. I'm the founder and CEO of Understanding Your Value Incorporated. I've been incorporated since 2001, and it is a company that specializes in serving as a catalyst for organizing and organizations, teams, and personal development training. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, I am an inspirational speaker. I have had the honor of presenting in over 5 countries. Actually, my speaking and presentation started in 1998. I'm the author of the book, Live Life Like It Matters, How to Get the Best Out of Life Without Life Getting the Best of You. And most recently, I've embarked on an advocacy project for our U.S. military men and women called Reviving the Human Spirit of Our U.S. Military. And the purpose of that project is to assist our military in using the private sector to get the counseling they need and deserve without stigma, negative recourse, or negative retaliation. And my work is always about helping others and how can I make a difference to improve this world that I came to so it can be better than it was when it's my turn to return back to from which I came. I have enjoyed meeting people across the world, and I just hope that today, with this honor that I've been given, that I can reach out and touch someone for their life to not be the same as it was when they got on the phone.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, my sister, you are doing that already because we already have 2 callers on the phone. We have people in the chat room, and I want to reach out to the people in the chat room and tell them thank you so much for coming on this morning and to just spend this time with us so we can all have a clearer understanding of our values, because too often things are a bit foggy, especially when things get challenged. We not even know where we belong anymore. So we pray that this morning we will take the time to jot things down and to just have a clearer vision and understanding about that. And as I did mention now, I want to, take some time to express some things that I am thankful for on this pre-Thanksgiving morning. And I'm going to ask Murel after that to do, and there's someone on the phone, if you want to contribute something, just raise your hand. And I know that one of the person in the chat room hung up, but please call back. Raise your hand if you want to contribute, and I will put you on live. If you do not raise your hand, then I think you are only listening. So, on this pre-Thanksgiving morning, there is so much that I am thankful for. But the first thing I want to express my thanks and gratitude for is that the Lord accepted me and saved me way back when he did. Because it allows me to see things much clearer and to accept all people that come into my path as a value to who I am and to what I can do for them. I am thankful for my son, Javonte. I'm thankful for my biological family and extended family. I am thankful for all my friends across the world. Some I know in person, some I know via social media, but I am so thankful for each and every one of you. For my clients, I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for my viewers. On their New Day show, I am thankful for the listeners on this show and for all the people who you see me sometimes and you just recognize my face because you have seen me on their New Day show, yet you take the time to express to me what the show has done for you and is continuing to do. I am thankful for all of that. So, Mirelle, what are some things that you are thankful for this pre-Thanksgiving?
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to express that. I am so thankful for life. Yes. I am thankful for my family. I am thankful for the opportunities that have been afforded me and the opportunities that are on their way, the doors that are getting ready to open. I am thankful for you and your audience today. And I am so thankful for everything, even the good and the bad. Yes. I learned through my enemies, I learned the most, and through my friends, they cherish me the most. And I need a little bit of both in order for me to grow and to expand and to extend myself in the way that I could to be better. And so I'm so thankful for all of that. And I'm thankful for those people that I'm going to meet in the future that's going to brighten my day and teach me certain things that I need to learn.
Yes, very, very important thing that you just said. And I want to just piggyback on something you said, that even your enemies you are thankful for, because you know something? They have a role in your life because they help to mold you into the true you. They help you to build character and they help you to build patience and tolerance. So they are there to do what it is that they want to do. And it depends on whether you are going to act or you're going to react. And that's the difference that their relationship will play into your life. So I am very thankful for you, and I'm thankful for social media because you and I connected on LinkedIn. And I tell people all the time that when I request the friendship of people from any of the social medias, I do not read their profiles. I scan through the list of pictures. I look at the pictures. I focus on if the Spirit says read that profile, then I read, and the Spirit says send a message, then I send a message, and that's how you and I connected, and I'm thankful for that. And let me ask this person here. Caller, good morning. Your first three digits are 860. I think you're in the Connecticut area. Do you have anything you are thankful for? If you would like to be on caller, your first three digits are 860. If you have anything you are thankful for, you can express it by saying your name, where you're calling from, and what you're thankful for. If I don't hear anything, then I know you're probably just listening. And I guess that is the situation here. Okay. Let me just go into the chat room and see if there is anything there. Welcome to guest 203 200 197 and Evangelist Felicia. Do you have anything you're thankful for in the chat room that you would like to express? If so, you can just type it if you don't want to call in, and I will read it to the rest of the listeners. Okay. Well, listen, we will move on, and later on, if you build the courage that you want to say something, then we'll get you back on, because I know everybody is thankful for something, even one little thing. So we'll entertain it whenever you have something you want to express. And again, the number to call is 646-915-8166. So, Muriel.
Yes.
It's amazing because the first time when you and I spoke on the phone, we spent over an hour just getting to know each other. And it's amazing. You know when God's hand is in something, because it just ignites right away and just take off. So I'm so thankful that God has connected us together. And we don't know what's up his sleeve, but the one thing we know is that we are going to be obedient to whatever is up his sleeve, and we're going to do what he wants us to do.
Absolutely.
I'm thankful.
Absolutely.
I'm thankful. Yes, you mentioned earlier on in the introduction to the listeners about your being able to impact and touch the lives of people in five different countries.
Yes.
And I know when you started doing that, because you and I spoke, there was a certain aspect of that impact your life and has a great bearing on the company that you form and the work that you're doing now and will continue to do. Would you love to talk a little bit about that?
Well, yes. Let me start off by giving the framework for how this vision actually came about.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1997, I remember going up to my room exhausted. I was so exhausted that day from all of the work and ripping and running and the daily grinds of life. And I remember going upstairs, laying across the bed to take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had awakened from that nap, there was an echo, these words, this internal sound inside of me that was saying, understanding your value, understanding your value. And it was actually irritating and annoying.
Mm.
And that irritation and that annoyance of those words kept resonating inside of me, and I had no clue, no reason why I had awakened with that message in my mind and in my spirit. And I went on for days, I went on for weeks, and it was still resonating. And as I read, and as I began to think about it, as it continued to resonate, I began to create a mental picture or a movie per se of my journey through life,
mm-hmm.
of people in my life, including myself, of those moments where understanding my value was so important at a particular decision-making crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept resonating and resonating. From that, I began to form a tight concept of what that should mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I began to do research, and I began to study, and I became a student to human worth and value. And I formed a message. My first message that I formed in this particular area of thought and concentration was understanding your value, the truth about your human importance. And it just so happened that at the time I was working with a nonprofit exchange program called SAMP, S-A-M-P, the Southern African Mission Project. And in coordinating that, I was able to give myself the opportunity to do my first workshop of understanding your value, the truth about your human importance in South Africa. And the response that it was a 4-day workshop. It was, the response was so overwhelming that I kept repeating it. Eventually, over time, I evolved in creating more workshops and that kind of thing, and more training, extending to other areas such as business, team, leadership, and so forth. And in 2001, I made a decision. Listen, this is what I have a passion for. It was always like, I'm not working, but I'm just having fun with participating with this big project. And from there, I incorporated Understanding Your Value, Incorporated. And what I do, I just teach the truth about human importance, whether we're talking about an organization structure, where we're talking about teams, or where we're going into a person's personal life and talking about the value and the worth of and significance of their existence.
I want to piggyback on something you mentioned about going upstairs, laying across the bed for a nap. And it was during that quiet time that you got the revelation or the vision, if you may, about what you have now organized to create this magnificent organization which you run. And I repeated that because I want the listeners to hear and understand the importance of quiet times. Because we live in a busy world where there is so much hustle and bustle that's going on around us. It was just yesterday, a dear friend and I, we were on the phone speaking about the same thing. And I was telling her how important it is for her to just be quiet, because she's a diligent servant and an amazing woman of God. She's a prayer warrior. She is just such an amazing person. And I said to her, with all that you do, you need to begin. The only thing I see that is missing from what you're doing is some quiet time. You need to take some quiet time so God can really let you know what else He needs you to do. So I'm so excited for this piece of affirmation this morning, that it was during your quiet time that you got awakened by the echo of what this vision was supposed to be for you. And that is powerful.
Well, thank you. And you know what, Daphne? Even before then, and I'm going to tell you, this is the strangest thing, and it didn't come, I did not realize it until long after, just a few years ago, actually, the realization really came to me, that well before that came about, I was buying office supplies and storing them. I was buying office furniture, everything, anything related to office. It was not even a practical thing to do, because I did not have a clue at that one day I would be running my business. I didn't even have a desire. That was not something that ever crossed my mind. But I would go into stores and I would beeline straight for an area with the office supplies.
Wow.
I had this attachment to office tables, office, anything has to do with office, I got it. I remember buying an entire office suite, the desk, the chairs, the bookcases, and that kind of thing. And so I I tried to justify, just in case so people wouldn't think I was crazy, and say, oh, I just need a home office, you know, for my, you know, for my stuff, you know, and that kind of thing. But not really, didn't, if they really knew how much stuff I had on a
yes.
personal level, they would have known that, you know, something is not right here. It's not adding up. But
mm-hmm.
it started then before I was even conscious of it.
Yes, you know, it wasn't adding up for human beings, but God was working in the spirit. And the amazing thing is how obedient you were in following through. And those
yes.
inclination that he was putting in your spirit to buy this, buy that. So when he was ready to launch you, it was not going to be a strain on you to acquire all these things because you were being obedient in gathering things that you are going to need to do this. It's just an amazing conversation here because too often we want to say, oh, well, it's not logical to do this. Well, when God is working through us, it's a lot of time it's not logical. We just need to follow through on what he's instructing us to do.
Exactly.
Let us, you started working in South Africa. What has your experience been when you just started over there? Were the South Africans reluctant to the teaching, or they embraced it right away? What was your experience?
Well, actually, it was not my first time there, but it was going to be my first time bringing this workshop, and there was already advertisement for it, and
mm-hmm.
so the word for this American is coming to teach understanding your value, and so evidently, when I got there, I was told that the word had gotten out, and there was quite a bit of advertisement going on.
Mm-hmm.
When I got to that first day, I didn't have an idea of how many people were going to show up for that particular session because I was not the only person there conducting workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And so people came into my room where I was doing my workshop, and the room was a pretty nice-sized room. And it was filled. It was filled. And I did my first day. And I remember the next day, the crowd was so huge. The crowd was so huge that there was not any standing room.
Mm.
And I remember that day, this man stood up to ask me a question shortly after I'd gotten started with this particular workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced himself, and he asked me the question, and I could tell in his voice that he was a bit annoyed
mm-hmm.
and irritated, and he wanted me to answer this question. Muriel, how do you expect me to have healthy self-esteem? Because that was the subject matter that we were talking about, how to gain it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, how am I supposed to have a healthy self-esteem? I am an attorney by trade. During apartheid, I was beaten and left for dead.
Mm.
Now I cannot even feed my family. There are some days I even struggle to get the little food that we do get.
Mm.
And you're expecting me to have a healthy self-esteem? How is that possible? And he said that with a bit of irritation, and I thought that was a very legitimate question.
Yes.
And it was a very necessary question. To
yes.
be answered.
Mm-hmm.
And right then I remember just picking up a piece of chalk, turning my back, and drawing a diagram on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And then I began to give my explanation on what a true level of self-esteem is and how you actually gain it.
Mm-hmm.
And how esteem is really separate from how people treat you.
That's right. That's right. Because he still had his life. He still have his education, but where is his fortitude? He just needs to really horn into his fortitude to make sure he can propel again. He still had life.
And understanding, I spent 45 minutes giving him the step-by-step process, not only understanding what healthy self-esteem is,
mm-hmm.
but how it is gained and how to evolve as you began to build it within yourself. Mm-hmm. And I did not know, the end of the session came close to the end of the question.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, and after, when I got finished, he just politely said thank you, because he didn't sit down. They don't sit down until you've answered their question.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat down, and shortly thereafter, the session was dismissed. It was the quietest day, the quietest moment, the quietest experience. And I had no idea whether or not I reached him in the way that I wanted to. I didn't understand what impact I may have had on him and the others, because
mm-hmm.
there was just a complete silence during the whole class. I was the only one conversating. And
I don't know what we have in a type of interference. Okay. Repeat what you just said, Mirelle, about you didn't know whether or not you reached him.
I did not know whether or not I reached him. I did not know whether or not I was able to reach those who were listening. I had no clue whether or not they were receiving it, how deep or how shallow the information was for them. I had no clue. They weren't giving me any clues either, and I wasn't picking up on any. So I had a curiosity. And
right.
So the class was dismissed, and they left. The next day, for lack of a better word, there was such a mob of people that people were hanging out the windows, and they were in the doors, that I did not even have room to even turn around in the spot that I was standing.
My God.
And so there is a huge need for people to have an understanding about the truth about the human importance, because when you have that understanding is going to be the missing link that help eliminate ills of our society and ills in our life. I have, since that time, when I run across challenges, I go back to the foundation of understanding my human importance to be the foundation by which I make decisions. Using that foundation would save you a lot of grief down the road, because it is a great principle to live by, that understanding. When you don't have it, you can do some things that you would not normally do when you understand the significance of your existence.
You know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
When it comes to even money,
mm-hmm.
We're living in such a challenging time right now. A lot of complexities are existing within our economy everywhere across the world. And when we talk about money and things, and people are the things that they used to have, they don't have them anymore. The money they used to have, they don't have it anymore. And we have to go back and understand that when you were born, you weren't born with that, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is that you are not your stuff.
And when you exit, you are not exiting with it.
You're not going to exit with it. And things are not designed to define you.
That's right.
Money is only a tool. And,
that's,
you know,
right.
My question would be, you mean to tell me if you have money, you're something, but if you don't have money, you're nothing?
You're
that
nothing.
Doesn't make sense.
That's
that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense.
I want to ask you a question before you continue. And I'm hearing some kind of interference. I'm hearing something in the background and all of that. So I don't know what it is, but in the name of Jesus, we have clarity right now. Now, I am sure there are people who are listening who is probably asking themselves the same question that that gentleman asked you in that meeting.
Uh-huh.
And if I ask you to define, when you mention about maintaining a healthy self-esteem, for the people who are probably not bold enough to call in to ask that question, would you define what it means to maintain and restore and reconnect on all those adjectives a healthy self-esteem?
Okay. I will try to take a shorter route, not the 45-minute route, in giving an explanation of a healthy self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, understanding that you're a human being, and we are spiritual being that is housed in this body.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No one has had a choice on how they showed up.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a choice on whether you were male or female or what skin tone you had, but you didn't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you showed up in the spirit living inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit is not, the spirit is only connected to another spirit, and that's the one that created you.
Mm-hmm.
And so your esteem, you must begin to create yourself, I mean, connect yourself back to your creator. So you begin to get that connection, get that energy back, that life energy, and restore that spirit that lives inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
Your importance, your significance is already established before you showed up.
That's right.
Every human being came here with a purpose. Every human being, even if you don't know it yet, just know that you have one.
That's
it's just
right.
a matter of discovering it.
Yes,
but
I'm
every human being came here with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And your esteem is based on your belief
mm-hmm.
that you are significant
mm-hmm.
to life.
That's right. The value. It goes right back
value.
To the value. What
it goes right back to your value. Exactly. When you believe that you are significant to life, that you're important to life, even if you don't know what your specific purpose and mission is, that alone is enough that when someone asks you to do something that is abusive to your mind, your body, or your spirit,
mm-hmm.
you can go back to that thought and say yes or no.
That's right.
And your yes would mean that I have not yet believed that I am significant to life.
That's right.
But when that belief that God created you for a purpose, even if you don't know it yet and you are significant to life,
mm-hmm.
then when it comes down to positioning or making yourself available to any kind of misuse, whether it's misused by someone else or by yourself, you would reject it and you would turn away and you would walk away. As you,
yeah.
as that belief is instilled inside of you, that builds a healthy opinion of yourself. And in self-esteem is nothing more than your self-opinion.
Yes.
What is your self-opinion of who you are as an individual? And that spirit that lives inside of you, the intangible is always more powerful than the tangible. Because
yes.
nothing that we do and we create on the outside is more powerful than that which lies on the inside of us.
Amen. I just want to read something from the chat room because remember earlier on we were asking people in the chat room what they were thankful for. And Evangelist Felicia said, thankful for a sister's prayer. I was just called to pray with a sister. May God's anointing spirit be with us all. And that's what she was thankful for, that, you know, somebody believes in her enough and love her enough to call them to have prayer with them through this time. And she says it's an amazing show. She's thankful that she can spend this time with us. And we thank you and love you too, Evangelist Felicia. So, yes, you know, because too many people are looking through a clouded pane of glass. And they think that all this stuff is what is supposed to define them. And if I don't measure up to the Joneses, I am a nobody and I am a nothing. And that is so far from the truth. So, so far from the truth. And I know, you know, back in Jamaica, they always say, when the hearse rolls out, there is not a trailer attached to it. So, what are the difference that you are making in the life of somebody? I was speaking with they have quite a few queens on the social media, and there's one lady out in Dallas. She's organizing all the queens together so we can start adding value as a corporate group to others. And we had our first meeting on Tuesday night. That's one of the things I was telling one of the other queens from out in Arizona. I was telling her, I'm really meeting out. I said, I do not want to go into another meeting where I cannot add value. Because I remember way back when I did not have a true understanding about values and all of that, I was going to everything that I was invited to. And most of the things, I'm just sitting there in the chair, because if you start to give your opinion about something, it's beaten down. You're not being utilized, until I got an awakening and I said, no, Daphne, you only need to be at the places where you can add value. If mm-hmm. you cannot add value at the table where you're sitting around, that's not the place for you. Not the
exactly.
place for you. Not the place for you. So now it's how many years that you have been on this mission of understanding your values?
Actually, the mission started in 1998. And I actually incorporated in 2001.
Okay, wonderful. Now, when you present the program here in America,
mm-hmm.
have you encountered any resistance, or are people embracing it fully?
No, I have not. Strangely enough, I have not. One of the things that I have a clear understanding of is that when you're able to, whether you're a speaker or a trainer, or when you are working with people in any capacity, that it's important to reach people at such a core and deep level.
That's right.
And connect with them mm-hmm. for them to get the attachment, the understanding of what it is that you're trying to reveal, because we all have a common ground somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we're more similar than we are not.
Exactly, than we realize. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And exactly, that we realize. And understanding that, I try to make sure that when I reach out and begin to teach,
mm-hmm.
that I start off connecting in a way that each person believes and can sense that I'm talking just to them.
Mm-hmm. When you look on the gen component of your audience, what gender more readily embrace the conversation around values, male or female?
Wow, that's a tough one. That's a tough one, because I have such a huge response from men.
Mhm. Mhm.
I have a huge response from women. That's tough. That's a
okay.
tough question.
So then
and
ladies
the reason,
are 50-50 then?
Well, you know, I think when you get a person to become interested in themselves,
mm-hmm.
then the gender issue it kind of goes out the door, because mm-hmm. the person actually begins to make association and application to themselves and whether they're male or female.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a tough one. I've had great responses from boys to men and from girls to women.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing to hear, because I ask that question because too often in the churches, in the PTOs, in the schools, and in a lot of the social organizations out there, when we go there, we see a large number of women, because some men, because they are not fully awake about the personal development arena, and they kind of see it as too touchy-feely, because some men say, oh, no, that's not me. It's not masculine enough and all of that. So I'm glad to know that they have woken up and that men are out there taking a stand. And I give compliment to the rising number of inspirational speakers who are now men. So men know that, oh my God, there's a brother who's saying it's okay to come out and express what we're feeling. I remember a few years ago, I was at a retreat at the Camelback Inn out in Arizona. And it was a retreat.
And when we did the small breakout groups and everything, the guys in the group, they would not participate. And when we got a break, they gathered in the hall and they were expressing among themselves. Women get so much out of things like this because they are trustworthy, they respect each other, and they open up easily. We men are not accustomed to be doing that. And when we went back in the room, I said, it's not that I was eavesdropping or anything, but I heard that. And I want to make mention because I wanted the other leaders in the room to hear where the men were coming from about that. And then we had a discussion, and it gave me a whole different outlook on how men operate. They open up quickly among men, but when it's a mixed group, they don't open up that easy. So I'm excited that with your program, it's giving a broad outlook to both genders, and they embrace it. So that is a real good thing.
Well, thank you. I think when they come to my particular workshop, because of the nature and the title of it, they're already searching and seeking. So they are already in a place where they're prepared to listen. And I think that may kind of, it's one of the reasons why I've had such a great response on the men's end as well. So, yeah.
I don't know. Muriel, there is an interference in your phone because when I am speaking, I'm hearing it. But when you are speaking, I am hearing it. So I don't know what that is caused from.
Yes.
Are you on a landline or a cell phone?
I'm on a cell phone.
Oh, so that's where the interference is on. All right, so I guess we'll have to do our best that we can. Okay, so we'll do our best. Would you please repeat about the last statement you said, because it all went in the interference and I didn't hear it. I'm not sure whether the listeners heard it.
One of the things that I wanted to mention was that just by the nature and the title of that particular workshop, Understanding Your Value, the Truth About Your Human Importance, when a person shows up for that, they're already curious, they're already searching, they're seeking to have that understanding. If a male person shows up or if a female person shows up, they're already prepared to listen.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why my responses from male and female are pretty much equal.
Yes. Ooh, we are having a bad interference there. Okay. All right. So we are an hour and 12 minutes remaining, and I want to encourage the people in the chat room, type and let me know whether you're hearing her clearly, please, because sometimes I'm getting a feedback here, and I don't know why that is happening. So we are just going to just pray that this clear up. This is too good to be getting any interference. And again, the number to call in if you have any questions, the number is 646-915-8166. And I am in conversation with the amazing Muriel Morton out of Georgia, and we are having conversations about understanding your values. All right, so nobody in the chat room is saying anything, so I guess they're hearing you okay, and for that I am grateful. All right, so we are moving right along. And I just want to put this question right here, right now, in the middle. What role does spirituality play in the work that you do, Muriel?
Well, actually, spirituality plays a huge role. Everything is based on the human spirit. The essence of a person is not the color of their skin or the clothes they wear, but the essence of a human being is the spirit that lives inside of them. And so because it's so important to deal with what is inside of a person, that's the greatest power that a person operates out of anyway. And so what role does it play? It plays a huge role, because without spirit, I wouldn't be in business.
Good. Wonderful. Are you, by chance, do you have a landline you can call on or no?
Not where I am right now.
Not where you are?
Not where I am right now.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we'd have to just go ahead with that. So I am happy that you said that, and I want to, the listeners to realize that I ask you about spirituality and not religion, because we too often get confused with both, and we have to know where our true supply and our true source comes from. And it's not from the religious labels. It comes from the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, because it wasn't your religion that gave you that revelation that day when you went up to get that nap. It was your relationship and your connection. When you were going shopping for the office furniture, it had nothing to do with your religion, but it was your spiritual relationship and connection and your obedience with that. So I wanted to just highlight those things, because I know there are people whom the Lord has given visions, upon visions, and they are sitting down and not taking a step to follow through on what it is. So I want them to just learn, if there's nothing else they get out of this conversation today. Learn to be obedient and don't look for the things to be logical. Whatever you get instructed to do, follow through. Because when he sees that you are ready, he's going to give you the next piece of the instruction. Don't sit and wait for the entire thing to be revealed to you. Even when other people around you think you're crazy, still do what you are told to do. You know, I was listening to a show, I don't remember which one, and the lady was on her job, and the Lord told her to hand in her letter of resignation. The lady said she had just bought a house and a car, and the Lord told her to give 1 month's notice. And she wrote it, and she said it was the longest walk from her office to her boss's office to hand the letter in. And she said she told her boss the truth, that she don't know what the Lord has for her, but the Lord wanted her to hand in her resignation. And she followed through, and now this is 5 years that she's doing a beautiful work and impacting and touching the lives of others. So when we are obedient, we never know what will happen. So you've been doing the understanding your values. As the facilitator of this curriculum and program, what has it done to your life?
Well, that's a huge question, because the benefits from it has been so overwhelming, so great. I think one of the core things that it's done for my life is give it peace and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
When you're able to have an abiding peace,
mm-hmm.
aligning who you're created to be with who you are becoming,
mm-hmm.
that alignment, you're just able to have such a, regardless of the challenges that you're going to face or you are facing, there is that foundational inner peace that still exists, because you know you're in the right place, you're doing the right thing, you're with the right function for the life that you were brought here to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it also assists as a buffer,
mm-hmm.
when I'm getting ready to make another decision as to what it is that I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not connected to the principles of understanding your value,
mm-hmm.
in some form or fashion, then I know that's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a venture that I'm going to step out on. But with that, if it's connected to the principles of understanding your value, mm-hmm. then I would definitely take the time to take a look at it and entertain it
mm-hmm.
to see mm-hmm. how can I serve in that venture.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great model. It's a great. It acts as a fortress. It acts as a platform. It acts as a principle base. And mm-hmm. so it just made my life full. And I'm hoping that through the fullness that my life is still becoming, that people will experience fullness in their life by the message and the work that I do for them.
Isn't it amazing, Murel, is that when you concentrate on adding value, is that you wake up with such pep in your step every day. Is an amazing day because you can always look forward to something new.
Absolutely.
And that you're making such an impact in somebody else's lives because it is not about you. It is about what you can do for somebody else. Isn't it a wonderful feeling?
It's an awesome feeling. As a matter of fact, when you have that peace, that clarity, that inspiration, and your focus on how you can benefit others, your smile doesn't start on your face. It starts inside, you know, in my little guts here. You know, it starts inside, and it resonates through my mouth. So my smile starts, and my essence and inspiration starts before you can ever see it on my face.
Yes,
it just,
yes.
Yeah, it's kind of popping out. If you can imagine something popping out or just, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, something oozing out of me. So, yes.
Yes.
Awesome feeling. Yes.
Ah.
Awesome.
It is an amazing, amazing feeling when you know that God gives you this gift that you can help to make a difference in somebody else's life. There is no feeling like that. And when you help somebody and you look on their face and you see that big old grin, and, you know, like the testimony you gave about the first day, it was a good-sized room in South Africa. And then
right.
the next day, it was standing room. And then the next day, people were hanging through the windows. You know that. The people who came the first day, they got transformed. And then they went and tell somebody else, and they tell somebody else. And people not looking to say, oh, well, this is the third day of the workshop. They are looking to say, I'm going to get mine.
And exactly.
This is what happens when God allows you to represent him in such a magnificent way and to just go there and work and do your best for his people.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
You know, as a matter of fact, whenever I'm getting prepared to deliver, my mind is not on how people are going to receive me. Mm-hmm. My mind is strictly on focusing on feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hear a lot of people talk about, oh, when I get in front of people off of the speech or through my presentation, I have the jitters.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
When I get in front of people because I am talking in front of them, the attention is not on me. It's on serving
right.
someone else.
That's right.
Then the jitters are gone.
That's
and
right.
Is it easy to have jitters before you get up? Yeah, because when you're hearing these introductions, it doesn't seem, I'm like, who are they talking about? But, you know,
mm-hmm.
you, mm-hmm. you know, I am not that, I guess I'm not that dependent on someone giving
the
me
accolade.
Labels or and all that stuff. Yeah, exactly. The accolades, you know. And so when I am hearing it, if I'm getting ready to give a speech, I try my best to disconnect from what I'm hearing.
That's right.
So I can just focus on the individuals that I'm getting ready to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has a way of, if I start listening to it, it has a way of positioning me to start thinking about how I am coming off to my audience versus
mm-hmm.
just paying attention to my audience, so it takes the attention off of me.
Right.
And
one of my practices is that, you know, when while they're reading my introduction, I'm praying, God, you know each person that is in this audience, and you know what it is they need to know. Yes, I prepare to be here today. However, if what's been prepared is not the message for the people who are here, take mm-hmm. over completely and totally. Let your word flow through me into their hearts and to their spirits so that they will be transformed before they leave here today. And it's an amazing thing that God will do that, and people will receive what they came to receive, and they'll be saying, well, how did you know that that is what I needed to hear? And I'm saying, it wasn't me. It was not me. Let us talk about living life like it matters.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
Huh?
Great. Live life like it matters. That is a...
Oh,
that's
Mireille.
Okay.
Mireille, I'm not hearing you, my sister.
Can you hear me now?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, I hear you.
You hearing me?
Yes, I am. You're very clear.
All right. All right. So go ahead speaking, because I'm getting interference, so I don't know. Well, let us talk about your book, Living Life Like It Matters.
Yes. That particular work is something that I actually created when I was recuperating from foot surgery. And I decided to jot down about 15 principles that I learned through my life up to that point. And when I got finished, and when I had completed writing those principles down and writing the meanings to them.
I'm not hearing you clearly, so I'm going to ask the listeners if they are hearing you. Okay. There's a great interference. So I'm asking the people in the chat room if they're hearing you. So if you're still there, would you please just begin over about the book?
Okay. The book, Live Life Like It Matters, actually came as a result when I was recuperating from surgery, and actually foot surgery. And while I was recuperating, I just decided to jot down a list of the principles, the keys of wisdom that I had learned during my lifetime up to that point. And in writing that, I wrote down the explanation of those principles, and the result was this particular book called Live Life Like It Matters. Live Life Like It Matters encompasses eight principles, eight concepts that you can use in your daily life, teaching you how to get the best out of life without life getting the best of you. The first chapter in that book, I do get personal, and that was the greatest challenge for me when writing that particular work. I'm not that keen on talking a whole lot about me, but I did know that it was necessary in order for me to connect with my audience, for them to understand what gives me the right to write what I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
That I needed to unveil a certain measure of my life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that measure of my life experience actually was very difficult for me to write, because it was 20 years that I remained silent. And me putting in that book was my 20 years of breaking my silence, of one of the greatest tragedies in my particular life. It did not define my life, but it was definitely a defining moment.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1988, was the year that I got married. And when I got married, I dated the person for 2 years, and we had a great relationship. But it was on my, it was when I returned back from my honeymoon, less than 2 weeks after I was married. I remember going into this storage room and trying to clean some things up, you know, moving my things in and that kind of thing. And I was not prepared for what it was that I was going to find. He was not home, but I was home getting everything situated and organizing some things and cleaning some things up. And I got in the garage, looked into this box that was filled with what seemed like just empty Coke cans and empty potato chip bags and wrappers and that kind of thing. And I began to clear it out with the mindset that anything that I found of importance, I was going to set aside for him to go through later, but just make sure I cleaned everything up and get things in order. I looked in that box, Stephanie, and in that box, I reached down and I pulled out a credit card with my name on it. And I pulled out another credit card with my name on it. I began to find bills, unopened bills with my name on it. And it wasn't long before I became emotionally paralyzed and I realized that the man that I married had stolen my identity through the course of our dating relationship for the past 2 years. And it was revealed instantly that our relationship was a fraud. Fast forward to that, I remember when he came home, I confronted him about that. I asked him, I said, this is what I have. These credit cards with my name, these bills with my name on it. Can you explain to me what this is about? I can remember it as though it was yesterday that he looked at me, he made a U-turn, walked out the door, not saying anything, and drove off. That was the beginning of a long nightmare because the vision that I had for my life, the things that I thought was going to happen for my life, everything that I thought life was about and where my journey was taking me was my nightmare. My nightmare had just begun. One eventful day, I remember him grabbing me by my arm and telling me that if you leave me, I will kill you. Wow. And when I looked in his eyes, and he was very serious, it was a very uneventful day. And I looked in his eyes, and it was so cold and empty. If he was crazy enough to tell me, I was crazy enough to believe him. And I was already in survival mode. You know, even fast forwarding backwards, I remember back in the back room cleaning up, and I heard the car pull up. And he walked in the house with a rifle. I thought that rifle was for me. And he did not see me looking at him entering into the house. Something just told me to peer around the corner and stay quiet, and that's how I saw him walk in the house with that rifle. I was so afraid that I was already in survival mode. I knew that I had to pretend my way out of this situation, out of this relationship, mm-hmm. because if I did not, there would not be a me. I was able to leave that relationship because, by grace, I was given many opportunities to position myself where, without much suspicion, I left that place. I remember leaving that house one night when he was not there. I called my aunt. She was at work. And I said, when you get off, back your car up to the front door. Interestingly enough, she didn't ask any questions. She just said, okay. I did not share anything with her about the drama that had been going on for so long because I had to play my role. I knew that if I ruined or if he sensed that I was speaking or someone let off that I was speaking or had spoken to someone about something that was going on or had gone on, that I would be risking my life. So I remained quiet because I began to understand and study him, you know, shortly after I learned that he had stolen my identity. I knew there was more to it than that. Mm-hmm. And I remember her backing her car up to the front door. I loaded that stuff in her truck and in her car and my car and everything. Daphne, there were things that I cannot even pick up today. I have no clue how I was able to pick it up then. Mm-hmm. But I was able to pick it up without... I'm 5'2". I don't weigh 100 pounds. But I was able to pick up things that I cannot even slide across the room today.
Wow.
And we picked it up, and I left a little note on the television. And I call it my Dear John letter. And I never looked back. And I always say that my new name became Gone. Gone was my new name. Daphne, and I remember uncovering some things, even close to that time, about what the plans were for me. And it was not good. I remember finding the insurance policy. And I had a clear understanding as to what was to come next. I was running out of time. And so in doing so, I was able to leave. And I was able to be protected up until this point. And live life like it matters. What kept me and what stirred me to, because I was so fearful.
Yes.
And what broke my fear was I began to imagine what would my life be like if I was not in that situation.
Mm.
What would my life be like if I could walk into a place and I had what I call my mojo back? What would life be like if I could smile again and if I didn't have to cry myself to sleep at night? I began to imagine what I would look like. As a matter of fact, I began to imagine me having fun, laughing, and being with friends and going on trips and all those things that makes life so enjoyable and pleasant. And I began to imagine that. And living and looking at that movie every day, it began to inspire me. Even though I was in the situation, I would pull out my copy of my movie in my mind's eye.
There is so much interference, Muriel. I don't know where that's coming from. Are you hearing the interference?
No, I haven't heard any interference since we've been on.
Huh?
I haven't heard any interference since we've been on.
I didn't even hear you.
I haven't heard any interference since we've been on.
Oh, my heavens. I am hearing so much interruption, and I'm just hoping that it's going through clearly. Because continue, because I'm not hearing you, but I'm hoping. I don't know if the interference is coming out here in the things, but I'm not hearing. But go ahead, please, Mirelle.
Oh, well.
No, I'm hearing you.
Yes, one of the things that I was always conscious and aware of is that keeping my eye on the vision of what my life could be served as my inspiration and my direction for me loosening that fear that I had. And I went from being fearful and being paralyzed by my fear, from being inspired, and eventually I was able to break the chains and the strongholds of that fear. And I was able to move. And that's what allowed me to walk out that door. And I tell anyone who's going through any challenges in life to create a vision for your life and keep your eye on the vision, because it will inspire you, it will move you, it will keep you, it will direct you. Even when your faith seems faint, keep your eye on the vision, because it will still give you hope, even if your faith seems faint. And you will be able to make wonders out of your life if you keep your eye on the vision, no matter what you're going through, and allow it to stir you. And when it stirs you and it gives you that spirit and that inspiration and that strength, you cannot be stopped.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have not read the book yet, and I have to read it. And when I listen to this episode, if the interference hindered this message in any way, we'll have to have you back to talk about it, because I don't know whether or not the interference is only on my part. Because when I am speaking, I'm not hearing it, but when you are speaking, I am hearing it. So we have 45 minutes remaining, Muriel.
Yes.
And
we are going to go back to understanding your values. So if you would give the listeners, and I'm thanking God that this is going to come true very early, if you would give the listeners a checklist of some sort where they can kind of analyze themselves to see where they stand in understanding their values, how clear is their focus on that? What would that checklist look like?
Wow, that's a great question. I think one of the first things we have to look at is actually an analyzation, a revisit back to our life, especially during childhood. And let me bring these things out. A lot of things that we've learned, and we've learned well, they don't have the foundation of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of things that we've learned that's not true, whether through what we have been taught or we learned it based on what we've seen and experienced or what has been modeled.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that, from 0 to 5 years of age, 50% of our emotional programming has already been done.
Mm-hmm.
Between 5 and 8 years of age, our program, 85% of our programming has been completed.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we reach 18 years old, 95% of our emotional programming has been completed.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of people, it actually is hard. It's a great challenge for us to make certain changes in life, because we have to take that 5% that is left to help change the faulty parts of that 95%. And understanding that we have already, by the time we reach 18, we've already been conditioned. We've already been modeled. We are mimickers. Human beings mimic. And so once we become to this stage in the age of awareness and consciousness of where we are as an individual, what we have learned, and start picking apart those things that are not working for us well, then the investigation, it's easy for the investigation to begin to take place. What did I learn when I was 0 to 5 or 5 to 8 or from 8 to 18 that is not serving me well, that I learned very well but is detrimental to my life? Now, let me use an example. Suppose you grew up in an environment where the only thing you saw is that female humans getting punched if they didn't do what a male human wanted. They were punched and abused. But then you also saw that same female human being affectionate toward the person that abused them. And they call it, oh, I love him. You may grow up thinking that a good relationship, your only model for a relationship is being in one where if the person who abuses you hits you, that's normal. And love does hurt, that just goes with the territory. Well, the truth of the matter is, that's not love. And so that brings me back to, do we really understand what love is? And I think we've gotten so many mixed messages about love and what it is that we have began to live our life based on some foundations that don't have any security, don't have any principle base, and that may not be good and healthy for us when we're making decisions for our everyday life. And one of the things that I have discovered is that people are yearning for what they're missing. When I'm yearning for something, whether it's a piece of food or whatever, it's because something is missing. And one of the greatest yearnings in life is to be loved. And it stands to reason that the reason it is yearned for is because it is missing. And the reason it's absent, because its true characteristics are not quite understood, nor is it clear where it should begin. And if there's anybody who wants to know what true love and unconditional love is, then I'm going to take a moment to share with you what it really is. True love is not that warm, fuzzy feeling that exists, but true love is a behavior powered by specific beliefs, attitudes, and behaviors that begin with self-application and self-demonstration. And so what are these specific beliefs and attitudes and behaviors that should begin with yourself?
Yes.
And these are a few. Number one, love suffers long. That means you will not give up on yourself. Your family may give up on you. Your friends may give up on you. The world may give up on you. But you will say to yourself, I am not giving up on me.
That's right.
Number two, love is kind. You are a protector. You are a nurturer, cultivator, and perseverer of your mind, your body, and soul. Three, love does not envy. You do not speak, think, or behave in ways that reflect self-hate, inferiority, or lack of self-respect. Love is not provoked. The negative words or actions of others are not effective in making you question your own worth or value. How someone treats you or a person's opinion of you does not question your worth. Despite the hardships or challenges, you are continuous in your courage, encouragement, and perseverance. That means your love is going to endure all things. You are willing to love yourself through the hardship. And through those hardships and challenges, you're going to have courage, and you build it. You're going to have encouragement come to you, and you're going to give it through the hardships and challenges, and you're going to continue to persevere. Love never fails. You will build inner resilience as long as the application and capacity for loving yourself grows. The love you have deposited is reflected in your expression and in treatment to others. You will learn and you will know without a shadow of a doubt that the power in being loving is greater than the power in being loved. You will love yourself even when it seems no one else will. Love never fails. There are going to be times in life when it may seem that you are abandoned and alone. There may be times when it seems that you want someone to show you a loving and kind behavior, and they may not. But at the end of the day, just make sure that you are loving you. And you begin to, as you practice this, and it becomes a way of life, you will discover that you being loving to others is going to have so much power than what someone can give you in loving you. Do you want it? Do you need it? Yes, you do. But if we had to compare the two, never neglect yours in exchange for someone else's. If you want, if you have both, that is awesome. But never allow yours to fade for you. And I think if any, whenever we yearn to be loved, I think taking a lesson in wisdom is that we must own the fact that we have to apply loving ourselves first. And we can begin to experience the power and the law of attraction of being loving. And we will manifest the quality of love from others that we require and we deserve. And I think becoming wise in love is one of the greatest things that we can achieve as humans on this earth.
Are you still on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I have not. So this is looking very clear, but
I'd have to listen in totality to this segment to make sure it was indeed recording clearly, because I think the appearance is coming through from Blog Talk, because I have not heard what you say, but that doesn't mean it's not recording. So we are praying it's it have recorded. If not, we'll just have you back and make sure it works okay.
Okay.
So I'm not even going to ask you to repeat the checklist. Normally, I could do that because I would be jotting it down. Because of the interference, I wasn't hearing you. So, we have 34 minutes remaining. And did you conclude that list?
Repeat that again, please.
Did you conclude the checklist I asked you about? Because I was not
yes.
hearing you. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So
yes.
Okay, great. So we will just move on to the rest of your information. The rest of our conversation. Would you please give the listeners your information on how to get in touch with you, please, so they can know how to contact your email and whatever information you give out for people to get in touch with you, maybe your website and everything like that, please.
Yes, you may contact me. My email address is Muriel, M-U-R-I-E-L, at understandingyourvalue.com. That's Muriel, M-U-R-I-E-L, at understandingyourvalue.com. You can also go to my website, www.understandingyourvalue.com, or you can go to www.livelifelikeitmatters.com.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, boy. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Yes, so much interference. Okay. Would you please repeat that for me?
Yes. You may contact me through Muriel, M-U-R-I-E-L, at understandingyourvalue.com. Or you can go to www.understandingyourvalue.com. Or you can go to www.livelifelikeitmatters.com.
Right.
And if anyone is interested in the book Live Life Like It Matters, you may go to Amazon.com for the book or any online store in the U.S. If you're overseas, you can go to any online store overseas for the book. Live Life Like It Matters is in over 30 countries online, and so it's accessible to those who are outside of the U.S. as well.
Okay. And how? Where can they pick up your copy of the book?
The book is in any online store. They can order it from Amazon.com, Books-A-Million.com, any online store here in the U.S., or they can go to any online store. It's in over 30 countries outside of the U.S. in online stores, so they can order it from any online store.
Okay. All right. I want to ask you, for people who have been listening to our conversation and for those who will be listening on demand down the road and who is really struggling with this self-value thing, because as you mentioned about early upbringings and at what different ages that different aspect of who we are fully developed and all of that. And there are people who have been struggling with these baggages for many, many, many years. What is the first step you recommend for them to take?
The first step I would do is what I call analyzation. Begin to jot down those issues that are challenging them. And then go back with each issue and start writing down the belief system that supports that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a belief that supports every issue that we have. And with every belief, I want them to go back with each belief and write down the truth. When you write down the truth, for an example, if your belief is that I was raised to be hit on. Let's say if you're in an abusive relationship and you were raised that it's okay to be hit on and abused and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Write down those beliefs that support that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we act like what we believe, but it's our beliefs that helps give us our results.
Mm-hmm.
It's our thoughts that create our beliefs, and our beliefs, it stirs the emotions that we have about certain issues and particulars of life or whatever the circumstance is. And those emotions that gives rise to feelings, and those feelings cause us to have a certain kind of action. And in combination of all of that, that's what gives us our results. Backtracing all of that and finding out what thoughts and beliefs that you have to support that. And then tell yourself the truth.
Okay. So in other words, and do you recommend journaling?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Journaling is one of the things that you definitely want to begin to make a habit of. And journaling daily, if you journal either in the morning or in the night, or some people just journal in midday. But
yes.
Just find a few moments, even if you're journaling,
mm-hmm.
you don't have a lot of time, you might just want to write down a few thoughts of that day if you don't have an opportunity at that time to write down a complete journal of that day or that moment or your thoughts. But definitely do start doing some writing. You will discover a lot about yourself, and it's also a mechanism for healing and having breakthroughs. One of the ways that we begin to heal as human beings is when we can get some of that stuff that's inside of us out. And how do we get it out? By revealing it, by talking about it. And sometimes talking can be physical talking, or it can be writing things down but getting it out.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that's the beginning process of your healing, being able to talk about it.
And, you know, the other thing I think is important for people to understand is that it is never too late to modify what's going wrong. All you need
exactly.
to do is to start now and take action. Don't ever say, I'm too old, or don't ever say, I'm going through this too long, I have to sit down and take it. No, you don't. Every
uh-huh.
rising of the sun is a new day and a new beginning for you to start over. So don't sit there and become complacent and accepting what's not working for you. Take action, make a difference. You know, the reason for this show is to change our world by transforming one life at a time. And I make sure that the guests and experts that I bring on have something to contribute to this vision. We all can create new beginnings. And I don't know why I'm repeating this, but someone out there in Radio Land needs to hear that. It's not too late. This pre-Thanksgiving day, it was ordained for you to be listening to this show and to know that you don't have to settle for where you are. You can make a new beginning. The power is in your hands. Yes, so we have 26 minutes remaining. I'll give you 20 and 6 is mine. So would you... Huh?
Wonderful.
Would you please begin to summarize our conversation today? And even before you summarize, if you had something you wanted to mention that I did not ask you about, you can also use that to do that, please.
Okay. Well, Daphne, again, I want to thank you for having me. It has been an honor. It's been a privilege. And thank you for those who in the listening audience. And I apologize for any interference that came across. Hopefully it didn't show up on the air today when it's replayed back. But I would just like my final message. I want to let people know that there is a truth about human importance, and that when our challenges, our life gets challenged with the various things that can come about, that it does not have to define us, even though it may create defining moments. You are significant. You were here, brought here for a purpose and a reason. And I know this is probably something that you've heard over and over and over again, but I'm hoping that those who have not been able to grasp it in a way and do something with it, that understanding your worth and your value, understanding you are not your stuff, that understanding that it is not, it doesn't even make sense to think that when you have stuff, you're something, and when your stuff is gone, you're nothing. Don't get so attached to anything that you can't let go of. And that is something that we want to begin to learn more of. I think there's a lot of blessings that's coming out of, and a lot of great teachings and lessons learned that's coming out of the dynamics of our economy today. And that is one of them. Don't become so attached to something that you can't let go of. You have the power. You have the ability to do a lot of things very well. But learning how to do the thing that's passionate for you. For me, it came in the form of a of words echoing inside of me when I awakened from a nap and I began to evolve with that particular message. For someone else, it may be a specific experience. But granted, whatever it is, you must learn it so you can teach us. We are all here to help serve each other. We are not here for our own sake and our own self. But it's through ourselves that we learn how to treat ourselves that we can better understand how to relate to, connect with, and treat other people. Understanding that the power, one of the greatest powers in life, is learning how to love. And that's often a thing that we yearn for so long, and we yearn for it from so many. But let it begin with connecting to the love source, God, and using staying connected to that source and learning how to love yourself, learning how to feel that yearning, because instead of you complaining that someone else gave up on you, you can stand boldly and proclaim that you will not give up on yourself. And you become at peace with that, having that peace that surpasses all understanding, understanding that your love is going to be kind. You're going to be kind to yourself. And kindness, it doesn't mean that you're going to be a risk taker in terms of putting yourself in positions or conditions that are risky for your well-being, but being a protector and cultivator of your mind, body, and spirit, and just knowing that loving yourself even when no one else will, love will never fail you. Stay connected to your love source, and you're going to reap many benefits and blessings along the way. Having that peace that passes all understandings, that abiding peace. And something that we did not mention before that I think we need to always remember is learning how to forgive. How to forgive. There's a reward in being selfish. And I think being selfish enough not to allow any experience and any person steal the love and from you that you deserve. It's the most powerful way that you can live. Being selfish enough to say, I am not going to give up on me, and forgiving everything and everybody so you can have that breakthrough, and so you won't have those inhibitions and those blocks in your life to live your life to its greatest and highest good. Forgiveness is powerful. Forgiveness is necessary, even if it means forgiving yourself. It is over. It is done. Yesterday is over. Today is a new day. And having faith and hope for the past is not logical, nor can it be done. But having hope for the future is what we should all be looking forward to. I personally hope that your future will be better because you have been able to take one little nugget away from this session today. I hope that your future can have the understanding of your value and worth to some degree, to some measure, as a result of you tuning in today. And I also hope that you can will choose, no matter what life hands you, no matter what comes your way, no matter the kinds of people that show up, that you would choose to live your life like it matters, because it truly does. And not allow life to get the best of you, but for you to get the best out of life. We all came into this life leaving. Our journey is short. Our purpose is necessary. But discovering it and living it is what is going to bring not only you and I inspiration and help to others, but will give you the life fulfillment, one that you probably couldn't even put into words. Words will not be enough to encompass the symbolism of that joy and that fulfillment and that inspiration. And I hope that today has been a pleasure for you. It has been uplifting for you. My hat goes off to Daphne. My heart goes out to Daphne. My love goes out to Daphne for allowing me to share a few words with you today. Daphne, I turn it over to you.
Hello?
It's on you, Daphne.
I beg your pardon?
I'm turning it over to you.
Are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Are you still kicking?
No, I've just completed.
All the phones are going all around. Okay. So, did you have any closing thoughts?
I think my closing thought would be to for everyone in this momentous occasion that's coming up for Thanksgiving Day, to remember to be thankful, not only to remember, but to act in thankfulness and act in gratitude. It's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to be it and to behave it out. And I encourage everybody, because you're loving yourself and you're not giving up on life and you're living life like it matters and you're understanding your value, that a part of understanding that is living always in gratitude.
Well, Murel,
I'm
going to have to just go ahead and invite you back. We'll talk about that. I'm going to listen to hear how this episode came up, because I was getting a lot of feedback from my side. And I asked the people in the chat room whether or not they were getting feedback, and they didn't say anything. So if I listen and it's good, that will be a blessing. If I listen and it's not good, you'll have to come back and redo this segment. But either way, I still want to have you back so that we can just in continue to touch lives and to do the amazing things that we do. What can we look for in the future from you?
I say one of the things you can look forward to is in 2010, we're getting ready to launch a new project. It's called Reviving the Human Spirit of our U.S. Military. It will go into full launch in 2010. We're in the pre-launch stage right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Reviving the Human Spirit of our U.S. Military is a project that's dear to me, and it's designed to assist our military, men and women who have served in past and present wars and conflicts, and those who just served in the military, period, to be able to get the counseling they need. We're going to need the help of every American citizen, We are going to take responsibility for our military men and women getting the care that they need in counseling. We're going to use the private sector. We have counselors and psychiatrists in the private sector. And we're going to give them alternatives to getting that counseling and that emotional and that spiritual healing that they need and deserve from the private sector. Just imagine that any person who has served in the military can one day go to a website, put their zip code in, and find the counselors in their area or some other area. And they are able to get a listing of the counselors available in their area connected to the project that they can actually go to for counseling. They do not have to tell their superiors. They do not have to report to anyone. And they get the same courtesy of confidentiality as civilians. They make their appointment as just like a civilian. The counselor will build a foundation. They need to take their family, go in, take their family. The American people, we have ambassadors in 14 states right now. We will be going into full launch in 2010. I'm looking forward to hearing from people. We're looking to inspire our military and inspire this nation in a way that we never have before. And we're looking for every human being to be able to input their level and their advice on how we can inspire each other and help our military men and women. Government has a role, but it's time for the American people to take a stronger role in making sure that we have a healthy America, not just for today, but for generations to come.
Okay. All right. So, we are just going to pray that when you are ready to do the launch, that you'll come back here and use this platform to do that, because we just believe in the things that you are doing.
Thank you. I would love to.
I just pray that you will come back. And, I just feel so strong in my spirit that this is not the beginning, this is not the end of our relationship, that God has something magnificent for us to do. I want to thank you for coming on this morning. And if there is indeed interference, I don't know until I listen, but I'm praying that this was not. But either ways, we are definitely going to have you back again. I want for you to once again repeat your contact information, please.
Okay, thank you. My contact information, you may email me at Muriel, that's M-U-R-I-E-L, at understandingyourvalue, VALUE.com. Muriel, M-U-R-I-E-L, at understandingyourvalue.com. Or you may visit my website at www.understandingyourvalue.com or www.livelifelikeitmatters.com. Daphne, I appreciate you so much. This has been a pleasure and opportunity. If there's any reason, any time I need to come back, even if we just, for whatever reason, I welcome all of the invitations that you extend to me, and I'm thankful and I accept them.
Yes, I know you said something good. I didn't hear it because of the interference. However, we still have 12 minutes remaining, and based on past experiences, some people always wait for the last minute to call in. So just in case anybody call up, please don't hang up. Still stay there. So if they call and want to say something to you, you are there. I appreciate you taking this free Thanksgiving day to spend with my listeners and I. And we appreciate you. We are grateful for your spirit, your energy, and your commitment to making a difference in our lives. And we pray for God's continuous blessing on you, and also for your continued obedience in allowing him to use you, not only here at home, but across the globe. We are so honored of the model, the role model that you are for each and every one of us who are entrepreneurs or small business owners. You have paved the way well for us, Muriel Moten, and we thank you for that. We thank you for living life like it matters. So we know that there is no end. There are only new beginnings. And you have affirmed that for us this morning. We here at the New Day Radio Show, we wish you and your family an amazing Thanksgiving day tomorrow. And we know, yes, the dinner tables will be festive. But what we want to remind each and every one of our listeners about is the true meaning of the Thanksgiving Day. And let us not let that go unnoticed. So, if there's someone you have not told lately that you love them, please do not let the sun set before you call them and tell them that you love them. Because I here and the rest of people who volunteer and help me to bring the show to you, we love each and every one of you, whether you listen live, whether you join us in the chat room, or whether you are listening on demand. We truly, truly, truly love you. And for all my guests in the room, some who had to leave early, I thank each and every one of you, guests 200, 203, 277, and 363. I love and appreciate you. If you would be kind enough to visit my show, mark it favorite, please, so you can be kept informed about who my guests will be. I would greatly appreciate it. And also, leave me a comment in the box that says comments, and let me know some of the things that you are looking for. And remember, and on the 28th, I'm having the Marching Sioux out of Jamaica on at 11 o'clock. On the 2nd, we're having Dr. Ray Blanchard, and he is the author of the Answer, that DVD. And Dr. Blanchard is the personal development life architect. So you will want to be here with him. And also, after Dr. Blanchard, we are having Mr. Jeff Mills. He's going to be doing a seminar online, and the title is going to be Tripling Your Time Off and Doubling Your Income. And I know all of us entrepreneurs can do with some time off. Lord knows that we need it. So join that. Then on the 9th, we are having Cheryl Bouchard. And Cheryl is the sister CEO. And she's going to be talking to us about her new book and the state of the economy. And to let you ladies understand that a man is not our ticket is, you know, so the sister CEO is coming to talk to us, real talk about money, and that's on the 2nd. And on before her, we are going to have Minister Urquhart, Ernestine Urquhart from the Lion of Judah Outreach Ministry, and she's going to be on talking to us about women in ministry. And then the week after that, on the 16th, we are going to be having Miss Sabrina Lam. And Sabrina is the founder of World of Money, which is a kind of boot camp for young people, you know, building responsible adults through our future children. And she has that kind of a money financial university for inner city kids in New York City. And after that, we are going to have Dr. Carlton Highsmith, and he is the founder and CEO of Specialized Packaging right here in Connecticut. He has built an amazing empire. His organization hires over 500 people. And Dr. Highsmith is coming here to share his story with us and to tell us how we can make a difference in the things that we do. And I want to remind you to save the date for the Vision Weekend, February the 18th through the 21st. And soon after the holidays, we'll have the information up for you to understand what the event is all about and who some of the key players are in that. And I wanted to ask you to pick up a copy of my book, Conversation on Success, from my website, clarkhudson.com, and visit me on Twitter, on Facebook, the online empowermentinstitute.ning.com. There's a place there for you. If you believe in touching the lives of others, that's the place where you can go. Visit me there. And don't forget tomorrow, what is the real meaning of Thanksgiving? And I know I had asked Muriel for closing thoughts, but since she's still here and nobody has called in, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, the only thing I want to say is thank you again. I appreciate it. I enjoyed it. And I just hope that someone was able to get a little nugget that can inspire their life today. And I wish you and your audience a happy Thanksgiving.
Okay. So thank you. And as usual, this is the Queen of the Empowered Soul saying so long. Stick to your destiny. Do not allow anyone to tell you otherwise. You were created for a purpose. Now you understand your values clearly than ever. And we want you to just stay on your path, knowing that this path is yours to travel and it is nobody else's. Don't you ever give up on yourself. And don't you ever give up on your destiny, because you were created for excellence, and follow your destiny. Love you all and happy Thanksgiving.
What's the plight that you've called me to, the thing I'm set aside to do? I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Tonight, hallelujah, you will open that business and direct it.
hallelujah, to my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this name. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this name. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.
plans, give me a call.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, good morning. May I please speak to Daphne?
Who is calling?
Patricia with the University Finder. I'm calling about the college information that was requested. Just wish to ask you four quick questions.
Hold on a minute.
Okay.
University information that was requested when?
This is from the survey that was filled out online, Daphne.
It said no.
Oh, you said no?
That's what it says.
It came through as yes, ma'am.
No. It said if you need it, and I click no.
Okay.
Because
ma'am.
I'm already in school.
Okay, ma'am.
All right, bye.
Thank you. Thank you.